Mickey Hurton reports on Mid-Michigan from two platforms as columnist and associate publisher for the Lansing City Pulse and as a writer for the Greater Lansing Business Monthly. Area business and the economy is a common thread in his reporting. Recently, he's covered Michigan proposals to change the way the state's big box stores have their property taxes assessed. And meanwhile, he writes that the rift between the East Lansing City Council and the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce continues to generate discussion. Mickey Hurton joins us today. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back. Let's open up on what appears to be a positive note here. You wrote a few days ago that Lansing's tourism sector has been... Is booming too big of a word to use
no,
to describe it?
This has been absolutely a record year. As I reported in Greater Lansing Business Monthly magazine, when you look at tourism, and that's everything from MSU to soccer tournaments in DeWitt to the whole field of it, it's about $500 million industry. And we had our record year, according to tourism officials. Some of it is cyclical. It's interesting. You know, organizations rotate between Grand Rapids and Detroit and Lansing and maybe toss in Traverse City. This was the year it all happened to hit at the same time, and it's just been a spectacular year. And I think a hidden part of the economy because it happens so broadly. So they're thrilled, and they said, you know, don't expect it quite next year. Maybe about the same, but this was really good. But, you know, an interesting thing, I'm working on an article this month for Greater Lansing Business Monthly, and I looked at the casino. And they are so excited about the potential there, saying that if we were to get that Indian casino, it would make Lansing unique in all of the country for conventions. Having a convention center directly attached to a casino. So anyway, there's an awful lot of excitement about that, an awful lot of growth, and an awful lot of good news, and an awful lot of fun for us because we participate in a lot of this stuff.
Is it business or pleasure or some combination of the two, I imagine?
It's both. It's everything from sports tournaments to conventions to faculty convocations. I mean, it's the whole range. I mean, virtually all of the communities participate in the convention business and the convention bureau, and it's however you hope to define it. It's, you know, it's just what happens here, but they aggregate all of it, and it becomes a very important part of the economy, and one that they work at. I mean, they promote it, they go to shows, they bring people in to highlight the advantages in our area, which are significant.
You mentioned the casino. Are you keeping a close eye on that?
I mean,
it pops up every few months in one way or another. But
right. Well, it'll pop up next month in the magazine, the January edition. Yes, but it's in the works. It's just back there being. It's the Department of the Interior is working on it, and that's the next big key. So that will come, but it's a big part of the business. I mean, all of it.
I can't help but, you talk about the great year in tourism we've had, I can't help but flash on some of the car sale numbers that I've read about the last couple of years. 18 million cars, I believe, we're going to sell it somewhere in that neck of the woods for 2015. That is through the roof, relatively.
It's like we've gone back. I mean, after all this grim news about cars for so long, certainly American cars, now the industry is just moving. Now, you know, good rates. You know, low interest rates, and you can only postpone sales for so long, and improvements in quality. So all in all, it's a very interesting time.
What does the Visitors Bureau, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, what do they look at? They look at hotel room reservations or what?
Yeah, they look at hotel room nights, occupancy rates, traffic to their site, payment, you know, cost of hotel rooms and all of that. All of those stats are up, and that's how they measure it, as well as traffic. I mean, what are they talking about? You know, hundreds of thousands of people. Look, here's what they said. They figure they're going to have 5 million visitors this year, more than 70,000 occupied hotel rooms. And we just don't think about
That's a big number.
5 million visitors to the area. And again, they like the area because it's inexpensive. You can come here. Hotel rooms are relatively inexpensive. Meal prices are inexpensive. It's a safe area, you know. So there's a lot of things that they can sell. The biggest issue they really have is still the lack of hotels in downtown Lansing. And that's where they think a casino, if that comes in, that'll just stoke the business because a casino won't have a hotel attached to it. That's part of the deal.
Mickey Hurton of the Greater Lansing Business Monthly and Lansing City Pulse is our guest here on Current State. Michigan legislators have been looking at the way the state's big box stores like Walmart have their property taxes assessed. Give us the backstory here.
Okay, it gets very complicated, but the essence is that the big box stores claim that they are one-time use, that they really aren't worth what they cost to build because they say they're very unique. It's a big, you've been to Home Depot, you've been to Walmart,
sure.
You've seen this. Based on that, they claim that the way they've often been assessed by assessors has been incorrect. Assessors have assessed them at a higher rate, presuming they had value, that they were able to be resold. They claim they aren't. The state law apparently is porous enough that allows that interpretation to hold. So tax courts and the Court of Appeals have said, yeah, that's correct. Now, what it's meant for the townships is they've had to rebate money that had been paid in significant amounts of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes. Well, this has been there's pieces of legislation right now to alter that and to make the taxation of these big box type stores more like we would normally think about our houses or other businesses that presumably have reuse. There's an interesting kicker in this, though, and both sides make good cases. When these big box stores sell, if they abandon a Kmart or a Walmart, very often they will put a restriction on it to say you cannot sell this building to another Kmart or Walmart or Home Depot, which seems to me that they sort of are playing both sides of the game. And they say, well, that's fair and adequate, but most people or a lot of people think it's really not. So it's going to be a change, and we have an interesting case right here in town. The Home Depot in Okemos had previously been a Meijer superstore at one point. They were into the Price Club, Home, Costco kind of.
I remember.
Right.
Sure.
Well, that's before I got here, but they did that. It didn't work out. That lasted about 18 months. And what did they do? They sold that building to Home Depot. So clearly, there is an after use for these buildings, and without these provisions, you could use them.
Well, who's supporting the legislation? Who's opposing the legislation?
Well, the townships, essentially, and anyone who gets any tax revenue is supporting the change in legislation.
Yeah.
Against it is the Chamber of Commerce and the Retailers Association, and they claim, look, we're just following the law. I find it odd. I always find these big issues with large organizations like the retailers and chambers of commerce interesting because they have such broad membership. Invariably, they have to favor one of their children over
right.
their other. And so I'm saying, well, if Meijer has better tax advantages and sells jewelry than a local jewelry store, why does your members like that? Why does the little guy like that? And they sort of dance around that issue.
How is this playing out in other states?
Yeah, this has been an issue. In Indiana, they have already changed the law, and a number have. And they made significant changes in Indiana, which is interesting for us because we always, look at Indiana as some kind of, some golden, Athens-like state for business, and it's really not quite. But we love that because they have a lot of business-friendly type regulations.
Is this legislation on any kind of fast track, or is it going to be well into 2016 by the time anything happens here?
It seems to be moving along. I mean, there's broad. You've got the business groups that don't want to change it, but you've got school districts, you've got municipalities,
sure.
you've got library systems, you've got all of the rest of this.
Times in small communities, too, a lot of times, smaller and smaller communities are more apt to have a big box store, and the revenue impact there is apt to be pretty profound.
It's very profound. And so I suspect it will pass because I think there's probably a larger constituency for the change than not. But it was a really interesting issue. And the thing about the covenants, just head-scratching. Why would that? And you know why. Because what they don't want is they abandoned it, couldn't make it work, but they don't want to have this big, 50, 60, 70,000 square foot building there for someone else to make it work because they're all competing in the same. Mark Meyer isn't looking for a big new Meyer's competitor seven blocks from store.
I hear sometimes they will even I'm under the impression they will buy up property near some of the properties they already own.
Very likely. Good story. Thank you. I'll look into that.
I know the East Lansing City Council has decided to stop paying dues to the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce. Catch us up on where this is. You wrote about this, too.
This is now we're into City Pulse. Yeah, that was interesting. The Chamber of Commerce makes endorsement in the elections. And they've done that often. And they support Mark Meyer and, Mark Meadows and people like that. And generally, they've been very positive. It's a letter of endorsement. In this campaign, they went negative on races in the city and races in East Lansing. And only negative by Lansing sort of, vanilla standards. But nonetheless, different from it's a different kind of tone. So anyway, there are some in the political world who thought that this was inappropriate and that it just wasn't the way we like to conduct our elections.
Well, they endorsed Mark Meadows, and Mark Meadows had a pretty major problem with it.
Yeah, and so...
Others as well.
And the problem you have with that is when you endorse people, it's positive, it's fine. When you go negative, you probably make enemies. And the problem, the Lansing City Chamber of Commerce, the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce has, is it didn't pick a lot of winners. So it seems to me if you're going to go negative, you better win. But they didn't. So anyway, and here's the irony. So even people they endorsed, like Meadows, on the East Lansing Council, they turn around and jam the chamber. They say, we're quitting. So it's really hard for them to make these kinds of endorsements and to make them work. But here's the larger issue. The chamber has very legitimate interests. It has business interests, and that's really good. That's what it has to do. The problem it has is none of its members want to dirty their hands in local politics. So you don't find significant people in the chamber running for East Lansing Council. You don't find them getting involved in city politics. They hire surrogates, mercenaries in a sense, and that
really doesn't work. Mercenaries?
Well, I overstate, but I did write a column on. Sort of. They have to find people to carry out their wishes rather than local politics is pretty much a personal thing. These people are in it for themselves and their position. So they sort of have a weak position in that. It's hard.
What's the future of the relationship between the chamber and the city?
Well, it doesn't make much difference.
Of East Lansing.
Yeah, really, they're going to do what they're going to do if there's business. Look, they all want pro-growth. They all want better communities. The chamber's going to have to answer the question, though, and I think it's an increasing question. So what difference does it make whether I'm a member or not? As Meadows pointed out, and everyone knows this, LEAP has really become a very key organization in developing, the region's economy. And they're all members of that. So there are alternatives. And so the question, good question for the chamber, because you have to ask this, what do you get for your membership? And it's probably a good heads up to make sure that they have value in the membership and that members understand it and respect it.
We've got to touch on your last topic because it's just so interesting. In the Business Monthly, you wrote that local cemeteries are facing an uncertain future as cremations are on the rise. You said the culture of interment is fast disappearing as more people choose cremation. What do you see going on here?
Well, in Michigan, we, more than the rest of the nation, we like to be cremated rather than buried. And I believe the statistics I had was either in 20 or by 2030, 83% of all Michiganders will be cremated rather than buried. And this is just a trend. We are well ahead of the national trend. So the real problem is when you think about cemeteries, remember, they agree to perpetual care. In theory, as long as the world exists, they're going to be mowing that cemetery plot and fixing the fences and all of that. But the But they don't have the same income streams they used to. When everybody got buried, essentially, you knew you could project your costs, you could look at your expenses. Now with cremations, which are significantly cheaper many times, they don't have the same money. So even if you had a grave site costs more than a little niche in a wall. Mm. And so that's the problem. So I just wanted to look at this because I said, perpetual care is a big obligation. And when you know that people aren't looking forward to this, well, looking forward is probably the wrong way to put it, but aren't using or being used in the same way, it was interesting. And it is a stretch. Now, some of them are trying to do it and they're building more, they're accommodating cremations better, and they're building cremation gardens and different levels of cremation niches, covered niches, outdoor niches, signage and things. They're looking to do it. The Catholic cemetery in town has done pretty extensive work on that.
Mickey Hurton reports on Mid-Michigan from two platforms, columnist and associate publisher at the Lansing City Pulse. We've also talked about some of his recent work here for the Greater Lansing Business Monthly. Mickey, always a pleasure.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.